The portion of scripture for meditation this morning is recorded for us in the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 1, beginning with the first verse. This is our gospel for today, the second Sunday of Advent. Dear friends in Christ, it's 17 days until Christmas. What's on your to-do list? What's everything you have to get done between now and December 25th? Let's see, there are Christmas gifts to buy for friends and family and co-workers. There's parties, get-togethers, programs that you have to attend, or there's Christmas cards you have to write or letters you have to send out. If you're like us, you still haven't done any decorating at your house for Christmas, put up your tree. Maybe you're having friends or family come over for Christmas and you have to prepare for them, or especially all that food you have to buy. Maybe you yourselves are going on a trip to visit relatives. They have all these things that we have to do before Christmas, and this all on top of your already busy schedules and your busy lives. We're so busy doing all the things we do during the month of December, we may fail to prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ. We may fail to do what is truly important. We make sure everything else will get done. Oh, all the presents will be bought. You won't forget to do that. All the programs and the parties you want to attend, you'll make sure to attend those. Christmas cards will get sent out eventually. But often what gets pushed to the wayside when we're busy is God and His Word. We often fail to make the proper preparations for our hearts and minds for the coming of Christ. And I'm not just talking about attending Christmas Eve service, let's be honest. It's kind of hard to concentrate on the worship aspect of Christmas Eve with everything else going on. Parents are often very little concerned about worshiping the Savior on Christmas Eve. So it's good during this busy time of year to sit down and contemplate the coming of Christ, to prepare our hearts and minds this Advent season for when Christ comes. That was the job of John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of the Messiah, the one chosen by God to prepare the hearts and minds for Christ. He is the one that the prophets Micah and Isaiah prophesied about. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for Him. John was the one chosen, the forerunner of the Messiah, to prepare the hearts and minds for the people. And how did he do that? Well, first, by pointing out their sins. Now, we don't see that so much in our gospel for today. Mark's gospel is the shortest version of the four. So we look elsewhere. We see Matthew. And the first recorded words of Matthew that John speaks are to the Pharisees and Sadducees. "You brood of vipers," he said, "who warned you to flee from the coming wrath, produce fruit in keeping with repentance." Now, these were the spiritual leaders of the people. John wasn't afraid to point out their sins, however. The Pharisees especially were famous, were notorious for trumpeting their man-made laws and regulations, often at the expense of God and His Word. Now, they were more concerned with the outward appearance than obedience to God. They thought that by their good works, that by their deeds that they made up, that God would be pleased with them and take them to heaven. So John didn't hesitate to point out their sins, to point out their lack of faith and the coming wrath that would come upon them, that no amount of good works would be able to avert the wrath of God upon them. And we need to understand the same thing. By nature, we're the same as the Pharisees and Sadducees. By nature, God's wrath is coming upon all of us, because we're born as enemies of God. With a sinful nature inherited from our parents, we didn't know God. We didn't care to know God. There's nothing good that lived inside of us. Completely dead in our transgressions and sins. And even now, as Christians, we fail to obey God's word. Numerous times a day, too numerous to count, we fail to keep His law perfectly. As He demands. And the wages of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death forever. God's wrath is coming upon all of us. That's why Christ had to come. He didn't give up the glories and riches of heaven to come down and hang out with us because we're such cool people. He didn't give up His full divine glory just to come down to this earth to see what it felt like. No, He came down to this earth because we are sinners. Because we are helpless to save ourselves. And that is what is important. Something that we must not lose sight of as we prepare for Christ's coming. That it is our sins that are the reason why Christ came. It's our sins why Christ gave up His glory to be born on this earth as a baby. While preparing our hearts for the coming of Christ, John didn't leave the people to wallow in their sins, however. No, he shared with them the gospel, the good news of free forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, at the time, John was quite popular. People were coming all throughout the area to come hear him preach, to see him, to be baptized by him. But John was quick to make himself low and to make Christ greater. He said, "After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." As great and as popular as John was, as great of a reputation as he had, he knew he paled in comparison to Christ. So he pointed people away from himself, but to the promised Messiah. Christ was greater because both of who he is, the Son of God, and what he would do, he would save us. So later on in his ministry, when John saw Jesus, John said to some of his disciples, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The same thing Gabriel announced to Mary. He will save the people from their sins. That's the job of the Messiah. To save the world from their sins. That's the whole purpose of His coming. To come down to this earth to save sinners. And how did He accomplish this? Well, first by living a perfect life. Where we sin against God, where we fail to obey God's commands, Christ kept God's law perfectly. Not once disobeying the Lord. And on the cross, the one who had no sin became sin for us. He took our sins upon Himself, suffering through their pain and agony, suffering through the eternal punishment and condemnation. The wrath of God that our sins deserved was suffered by Christ on the cross. And then He gave us His perfect life. His perfect obedience is now credited to us. So He took away what we couldn't have, and He made us what we needed to be. So when God looks at us, He doesn't see sinners. But He sees pure and innocent children who have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And He declares us not guilty. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the message of John the Baptist, who pointed to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And that's not the only thing John did. Of course, he's known as John the Baptist, or as the Greek says, John the Baptizer, that is, the one who baptizes. John is the one people knew as the one who baptized people. Now, why would John baptize? Remember that John had pointed out the people's sins and the wrath that each and every one of us deserves. And when they're beaten down by their sins, then he baptized them. As we read in verse 5, we see that he preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was after they confessed their sins then that John baptized them. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Because that's what baptism does. It forgives. It washes away our sins. It cleanses us as we are given the righteous robe of Christ, the perfect robe of Christ. So when they confessed their sins, John forgave them, and they knew that through their baptisms, Christ had washed away their sins. John also said about baptism, about Jesus, I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Now, John is not making a distinction here between water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism. They're one and the same. No, John is saying that I am an instrument. I am merely an instrument in applying this water, but it is Jesus who gives the power behind baptism. It is Jesus who gives us the Holy Spirit in this baptism. And what does that power actually do? Well, Peter gives a good summary of baptism on the day of Pentecost on Acts chapter 2. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Like John, whoever does the actual baptizing is just an instrument of God applying the water. The power of baptism lies in Jesus. And as Peter said, be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. By the power of Christ in the water of baptism, sins are forgiven. Washed away, clothed with the robe of Christ's perfection. And in baptism, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit is faith. In baptism, we are welcomed in to God's family as He comes into our hearts through the gospel. So it comes as no surprise to us then that Peter says, baptism now saves you. Or Paul to Titus, talking about baptism, he says, God saved us. Not because of righteous things we have done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. When we think about who we are, when our sins weigh heavily upon us, when we have questions and doubts about where we stand before our God, we look to our baptisms. We remember the blessings that Christ gave to us at the baptismal font. We know that our sins have been washed away. We know that He has welcomed us into His family, and that through faith in Him, given by baptism, we will receive all the gifts that our Savior has won for us. We know that we are His own dear children. It's 17 days until Christmas. Your to-do list is already full. But don't forget the one thing that is truly important: to prepare your hearts and minds. Each day. And to help you do that, you have to look no farther than the forerunner, the preparer of Christ, John the Baptist. Now he shows us that it was because of our sins that Christ gave up the glories of heaven to come down in order to save us through his perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and through his resurrection. And so when we fall on our knees and plead for the Lord's mercy, we know that we are forgiven. We can fall back on our baptisms and know that by the grace of Christ, we are part of his family, a forgiven child of God. And when we realize this, we all know then that we are prepared for his coming. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.